One of the compliments that's been paid our ministry in criticism and in even sarcastic journalism with the news media has been, we're Bible toters. Well, I want to add one word to that and then challenge you for 1982. Not only are we Bible toters, but we're Bible quoters. So I'm preaching tonight on Bible toters and Bible quoters. What you cannot quote, you might not be able to tote. I'm not saying you've got to memorize every chapter in the Bible, but I am going to say tonight there is great profit in memorizing the Word of God. I want you to start with me in scripture reading in the book of Deuteronomy. Why, the question tonight, why do we recommend and demand as far as possible that people memorize the Bible by the chapter? The boys from the Lighthouse, many times in their testimonies, and this has been a great week of testimonies, hasn't it? Probably the biggest week of testimonies that we've ever had in the history of our ministry. And it was amazing to me and appalling and disturbing to hear so many little boys talk about the big sin they were in. Hard for me to believe. And yet, when we got a call this week or last week saying it looks like we're beyond the stage of helping our daughter, she's run away twice and she's 6 years old. Now, to me, that's tragic and sad and pathetic. And then to read last Thursday night about two little children, a little boy, 5, and a little girl, 5, that completely wrecked a whole apartment and left it in shambles. And as the police said, a disaster area, 5 years old apiece. Now, folks, there's got to be something mighty disturbing and destructive in the American family and home in order for little children to learn how to do that at the age of 5. I'm going to hit right in the middle of the answer tonight. But I feel like I'd like to ask all of the boys from the Anchor home that are under 12 years old to stand up. Will you do that? All of you that are under 12 and under, if you're 12 years old and under. Now we'll have, how old are you, son? You how old? 10, how old are you? 11? 12. All right. Thank you. Just little boys, and let it come for help. Now, there could be but one thing wrong, and that's a lack of parental guidance, discipline, and spiritual demand on the part of the parent. Listen, God fixed little children where they need and will respond to the right kind of leadership. Now then, in the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to see where this thing starts. Verse 4, that's 6 and 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Now, folks, that'll solve your problem right there. Anytime you fall in love with the Lord and can say that I love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might, I believe that you have then gotten your so-called priorities correct. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy door, of thy house, and on thy gates. Now, I wish somebody would ask me what on earth that means, and I'd like to answer real quickly just exactly what it said. You'd say, well, that would brand me as a fanatic. Well, I've noticed where they put politicians' names on signs and stick them in the yard. Vote for Carlos Truon or somebody else. They stick them all over the car windows. Does that make you a fanatic? About what? Let me tell you something, folks. Until you're willing to be branded and enjoy the term fanatic, you're not much of a Christian anyway. I was talking to a lady today, and she said, I'm trying to keep a low profile. Well, that's what the average Christian's doing. Reminds me of that little old boy I heard about. I had a little old cur dog, about so big, and somebody said, son, I wonder what kind that is. He said, that's a German shepherd. He said, German shepherd? You mean that little thing's a German? Yep. Said, he's in Secret Service. Yeah. Can a Christian be in Secret Service? Can he be identified as a Christian on the job? When Christmas time comes and the boss says, we're pulling our Christmas party, can a man really be a Christian at that time? He ought to be. He ought to be. Now then, let's skip to chapter 32, same book. Chapter 32, and I believe it's about verse 46. I'm preaching tonight on the Bible totals and the Bible quarters. Verse 46, and he said to them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it's not a vain thing for you, because it's your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan, to possess it. Now turn to the main book in the Bible, and the main chapter in the Bible that has to do with the Word of God. Would you be surprised if just about the middle chapter of the Bible and the longest chapter in the Bible has to do with the one great subject of the Word? There's 176 verses, nearly every one of which mentions or has to do with the precepts or with the commandments or with the Word of God. Now, the 119th Psalm is probably the most complete recipe for everybody, young and old, in the entire Bible, and we ought to read it. I think it'd be well to read it at least 12 times a year. Now, in this 119th Psalm, I'd like to begin reading at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Here it is. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, if you were to ask me what I believe the most practical interpretation of that revelation is, I would say memorizing the Word of God. How else can you hide the Word of God in your heart other than memorizing? Before I'm through tonight, I'll give you the best reasons I can for memorizing the Word of God. Now, we've had it understood that everybody in one of our homes and every superintendent and every worker and every leader and every person connected with this work, that you read through the Bible this year. Every year we read through the Bible. That's your assignment. Our leaders, our room captains, our superintendents will be checking up on those of you just to see that you take that sweet trip through the Holy Land. Read. We had a man come in today. I suppose he's our first deaf man to the City of Refuge. And it's interesting to know that we have a Mrs. Sears who is well acquainted with the sign language. This man, though deaf, cannot hear. He is an alcoholic, a drunkard. But he's desperate for help. He wants help. Isn't it good that somebody can hand out the gospel on the hands and win him to the Lord? That's another ministry that I think we're going to get on the way in Corpus Christi, is the hearing ministry. Those that cannot hear will be allowed to come, and they can hear the gospel, and they'll get the sign language. And through that they'll get preached to. Now then, let's read a little bit further. Turn to Psalm 119, and it'll be verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalm 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now then, go back to verse 59. I think there's a verse that I'd like for you to take home with you. I thought, amen, that'd be a change for a lot of people, wouldn't it? That'd be a delightful experience. I thought on my ways and turn my feet unto thy testimonies. When did he do that? He got to thinking about where his ways were taking him. And he turned his feet. He made a 180. He turned to the Lord. Now then, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Bible quoters and Bible quoters. Why would we want to spend the time memorizing the Word of God? Why do we make that a very vital part of our entire activity in Christian life around this place? All right? Let me give you the first reason. It's the best experience for the mind that I know of. In a time when people are having tremendous mental difficulties, we've got, and we didn't have it when I was coming up, there was no mental retardation home. There was nobody, there might have been somebody that was a little bit slow. Of course, no, there wasn't any slow learners, they didn't call them that. They didn't have any special ed back then. Everybody went to the same school together. And there wasn't any hyperactivity among children. I mean, the children didn't have any trouble going to sleep at night. My daddy gave me enough exercise during the day, I'd glad to get to go to bed. I mean, you didn't work for my daddy or with my daddy all day long and then want to go dance that night. I'd dance with him all day in the field. You know, I got a clipping today, and this is something. A woman buried her husband. And that night, she went to a dance. And it looked like to celebrate the death of her husband. And she was dancing and having a big time. I mean, that just doesn't quite fit. I believe a Christian can go through sorrow with a song, but I don't think they have to go to a master dance hall and celebrate the death of their husband. There's something cheap about the American people. I mean, more and more you find people going to funerals half-dressed. Women not properly dressed. And you find them coming with liquor on their breath. To me, it dishonors the dead as well as the living. America doesn't have the character she used to have when people dared to be honest and upright and respectful. It's good exercise for the mind. If I were to ask, and I certainly don't mean to be cheap, but if I were to ask, how many of you have had a bath the last 7 days? I imagine that 100% would answer in the affirmative. I could hope so, at least. But you say, what are you driving at? Let me ask you, how long has it been since your mind had a bath? It'll be better for you to bathe your mind than to bathe your body. It'd be good for both to be properly bathed and cleansed. But the great need in America is a clean mind, and the only way you'll ever get it is to bathe it in the book. And I'll not dare go back and spend too much time backtracking or visiting the old homestead before bathtubs were ever invented. We were gone before we ever saw a bathtub. Because we had a number 3 wash tub. There wasn't too much space and room in it, but it served the purpose. And I was always glad if I got to be the first one that took a bath in it. Well, I'm just simply saying, most people never give their mind a bath. There's only one tub. There's only one water you can wash your mind. And dear friend, if you haven't had your brain washed, you've got a dirty brain. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive. You know one of the charges God brought against the people over Noah's day? He said the evil, the imagination, was evil, always continuing. You know what's wrong? They had evil minds, dirty minds. They were evil. Back in the days of Lot, what happened? They were evil in their mind. Their minds were dirty. This has been the generation, and now then they're parading it in pornography, television, and newspapers, and profanity, and all the rest of it. Folks, we need to memorize the Word of God because it'll keep our mind clean. No way. Nobody was born clean. Everybody born unclean. Bible said that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're all as an unclean thing, and our iniquities have taken us away. And so, we need, I believe, a bathed Bible mind if we're going to live the pure and clean life. And then, number 2, we ought to memorize the Bible because of the authority of the Bible. This is the only book I know of that's got complete authority. I read an article today. I'll refer to it maybe tomorrow night. I never dreamed I'd ever write, I'd ever read. I never dreamed a Baptist preacher. I mean a Baptist preacher, a leader, now a misleader, would ever take sides with the state in locking the church door and putting the padlock and the chain. He said, I wish I could agree with the church, but I cannot. And he lined up solid with Moscow.
Yeah.
Who locks the church doors in Russia? Communism.
Right.
Who locks the church doors in America? Communism.
Right.
Same principle. You know why the judge had those that padlock and chain? You know why? He did not recognize the authority of the Word of God.
Right.
There were two things, and there's two things that our judges and our lawyers have missed. They have missed the final, complete, inclusive authority of the Word of God and the sacredness of the Constitution of the United States. They've missed it. Now, as a result, they say that we're teaching our children disobedience and lawbreaking. We've not turned out lawbreakers here. We got the biggest bunch of law-abiding citizens you could imagine right here in the auditorium. They don't break and enter anymore. They don't shoot dope anymore. They don't kill anybody anymore. But they say because we have violated a drugstore prescription that Isaiah talks about in chapter 10, an unlawful decree, they think we're a bunch of lawbreakers. But you wait till we stand either before the judgment seat of Christ or some of them stand before the great white throne judgment and find out how to come out. Brother, we ought to memorize the Bible because it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so I'd say, in the second place, we ought to memorize the Bible because it is the Word of God. Number three, we ought to memorize the Word of God because it's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. And if we want Him to witness and testify to us, and we want to have Him to come in our heart and say, Holy Spirit, we're so glad to have you, give your testimony. Why, He said, sure. Quote, Isaiah 53, 55, Psalm 51, and Hebrews 1, and 1 John 1, and all. Why, when you begin to quote those chapters in the dark of the night, He's given His testimony. You want the Holy Spirit to give His testimony to you, then memorize His testimony, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
Bible said, no prophecy of the Scriptures have any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All Scriptures given by inspiration. You know who's the inspiration? The Holy Spirit. You ought to memorize it because you'd want to be able to let Him talk to you. In other words, if He can live in your house, why don't you let Him talk to you? You say, how will He talk? He just talks in the Word of God, that's all. And so let Him give His witness to you. Let Him have fellowship with you. Let Him tell you what the Word of God really means and is all about. And so, next, would you like to have something the world has never known? Memorize the Word of God and it will bring peace into your soul. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. The peace that passeth understanding. No more fear. No more misunderstanding. No confusion. Just have the peace of God in your heart. Even though you don't understand, you don't have to. Then the next reason we ought to memorize the Word of God is because Jesus is the Word of God. And the more the Word of God you have, the more of Jesus you have in your heart and life. Listen, I'd rather have Jesus in my heart than to shake hands with Him. I'd rather have Jesus in my heart than to have Jesus in this house. He said, what are you driving at? Dear friends, if Jesus came walking through that door, you know, I might have said this one time before, but I want you to see what I'm talking about. If he would walk in, you say, what would you do? I'd sure relinquish the pulpit gladly. I might kick off his shoes. And I'd sure either kneel down or sit down. And I said, dear Jesus. You say, how would you know him? Holy Spirit, tell me who it was. No problem. No, I wouldn't say, here you. What are you doing? The Holy Spirit said, there he is. How did John know him? John raised that index finger like a single barrel shotgun and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. Who told him? Holy Spirit. I would have no problem recognizing him. I know that bunch had killed him. They didn't know him. They said to Judas, said, how in the world are we going to know which man to grab when we get out there? Well, he said, I'll kiss him. None of them knew it. Not a one of them. That's how infinite and unreasonable the religious world can become. And did you know the people that have given us the roughest time are the people that have never known anything about this world? They've never been here. Our worst critics are those people that have never come around. People in this city of Corpus Christi. I had a friend the other day, and the man jumped on me in the work, and he said, well, that, you know, and he just began to criticize. He said, hold it. And this man's not too familiar with Sunday school. He said, stop it right now, unless you want to fight me. He said, have you ever been out there? And he said, no. Have you ever met him? No. He said, then I suggest you not say anything else until you go out there and look it over. Yeah. Man said, well, I'm sorry if I've offended you. He said, well, you did. Listen, there's one thing about it. In Corpus Christi, we got a bunch of people wondering just who to criticize us around. Yeah. Well, finally, I mean, we got enough friends in Corpus now after all these many years till, God bless them, they're standing up. And the Lord is giving us some real thank yous next Thursday night. We hope to have the judges, all of them, that come, and we're going to have an evening meal with them, and we're going to meet with them, and we're going to have a tour for them. And after all, we had 20 judges, something like that, that came not so long ago, just coming through, came out to the house, and we met with us. And if judges come from across the state and other, then our own local judges ought to come. Let them see what it's all about. Before they commit somebody out here or say, you can go out there, they ought to know where they're sending them. And it'll be our delight to have them to come and to be with us. First, memorize the Word of God. More the Word of God you have, more Jesus you have. And the Holy Spirit can give His testimony. And then, I believe I ought to include the more of God. I mean the overall wonderful Heavenly Father you have in your heart. And then we ought to memorize the Word of God because it's our prayer language. How can a man pray except in the Word of God? You show me a man that doesn't know anything about the Word of God, I'll show you a man that can't pray. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will. It'll be done for you. And dear friend, you'll never know what to ask for, or you wouldn't know what to do with it if you got it, if you don't know the Word of God. I'm going to make a prediction, Brother Cameron. I believe, and oh, I want to be so reverent when I say this. I believe, I might have said it before, but I've got to remind, I believe God has waited as long as He can honorably wait to honor this work with tremendous provision. And when I say that, I have no doubt about God ever losing His honor. Because He is honorable and glorious and majestic. And dear friend, I believe that God is honorable enough to say, since that's my work, I started it, I've sustained it, I've continued it, my children have waited, they've prayed, they've believed, they've stuck their neck out, and they've declared to the world that they intend to live by faith and by grace and grace alone. I'm going to have to honor that kind of faith. I believe He will. You say, when? Before this month is over. Before this month is over. You wait and see. Dear friend, I believe that God only waits until due time, and I believe it's due. I believe that the need is so great. And here's the thing. If Brother Cameron and I had it in our bank account, if we had it in our pocket, I believe that he and I and Brother Cummy and Brother everybody else around this gives you life, I believe that we'd be willing to just take it and throw it down on the altar and say, Lord, there it is, every bit of it. Now let's go. But since we don't have it and God does have it, I could never accuse God of caring less than we care. I mean, he's the big caretaker. And so therefore, I'd have to honor him by saying, since he is big enough and honor-bound and glorious enough, I believe he is going to move in our behalf. And one of my desires, Brother Cameron, I'll say it again. One of my desires is to reach the stage and the age where I'll never mention financial needs again. I've prayed for that. I've thought of that. I've hoped for that. I've believed for that. And I believe the day will come when I will never mention our financial needs to anybody. I'd like to. I know people say, well, Brother Olaf, I wish you wouldn't mention any of the needs, and why don't you live like George Miller, and why don't you do so and so? Well, maybe I'll get there one of these days. I never did say I've already arrived, but I'm on my way. I'm not only trying, I'm a trusting. You know, one of these days, I want to preach a message on who will not be in heaven. I mean, I know a man. I can give you his name. Ben Tryon. Have you ever heard of him? Yeah. Old Brother Ben Tryon, he'll never be there. I've heard that. Well, I'm trying. You never get to heaven trying. You get there trusting.
Amen.
And so, I want to memorize the Word of God, because the more I have of the Word of God, the more of Jesus, the more of God, the more of the Holy Spirit, the more of peace, and the more of everything that's good and right I'll have in my soul. Now then, let me give you two practical reasons. This ought to capture your attention. Suppose these eyes get like that. That's all of it. No more flying, no more driving. No driver's license, no pilot's license. Couldn't even ride my bicycle over this farm. Eyes went out. I'm limited. I'll never read the Word of God again in my life. Maybe too late to feel with these fingers and learn how to read the Braille. Let me ask you this. How much of the Word of God would I have that I could preach? What I've memorized. And that's it. If you went blind tonight, how much of the Word of God would you enjoy the rest of your life? Oh, I know you say, well, I could get me a Bible recorded and I could hear it on record. I know. But how much could you get up and testify? How limited would I be on my preaching in the morning when I walked and somebody led me through that door and I came up? I could never see another smile. I could never see another expression while I preached. But the main thing is, how much of the Word of God did I see with both eyes out? You'll not always have the good vision you've got tonight. You'll not always have the good mind you've got tonight. What I remember best is what I committed to memory when I was a child. I've never forgotten. I can quote things just like that. I remember names just like that of the people I knew. I don't remember the names that I just met yesterday. Folks, you better tuck it away while you can. And you better fill it up in your heart while you can. All right, the final thought is this. What? And I know I've reminded you of this because it could be any day now. What if that bunch walks in from Moscow? They could come in any time. This whole country has been infiltrated. Now, you don't infiltrate truth. It comes in the open.
Right.
It don't just sift in. It comes boldly through. I said the other night, it's not evasive, but it's inclusive. And you put it down. I mean, truth may ride in through the valley and through defeat and all that, but truth is never ashamed to call its name. Never. But when they walk in, there's one thing they're coming after. They're coming after our book. That's the one thing Russia hates the most, is our guidebook. I mean, our instrument map and our wonderful Word of God. They're going to come in. How much would you have left when they take up your Bible? How much of the Word of God would you have left when they come and say, you can give that up now? Could I still preach, even underground, wherever we meet in secret places, and you get a little band of saints that are saying, living by faith and praying, and great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. We could still sing those Bible courses. Ah, listen, Rebecca could still meet and have a lot of scripture. The Lighthouse, the boys, we could still have a Bible meeting, and we could say, somebody, have you got a chapter we haven't used that could quote it for us, please? And if I didn't know it, I'd say, now then, you quote it, I'll preach on it. Folks, I'm asking, are you willing to memorize the Word of God? I feel that I've got a new generation of young people here. You ought to hear this testimony at least once a year, and here it is. I was speaking in St. Louis, Gideon International, and there was 1,500 to 2,000 businessmen from England and across and around the world. And it was a tremendous honor for me. I don't know, maybe 35, 36 or 7 years ago, somewhere along there, I was there in St. Louis. I was speaking each night in the big meeting room in that big hotel and had some unusual experiences. But I'd read the story of a man. I got on the phone late in the evening. I called Kansas City. I asked for Mr. McPherson. When the lady answered the phone, I said, is Mr. McPherson still alive? She said, oh, yes. I said, could I talk with him? She said, if you'll give me time to go lead him to the phone. I waited. I said, I'm preaching tonight to men, but this is the story. When Mr. McPherson came up on some young men setting off a charge of dynamite, they were green at it, and he said, boys, I've had a good deal of experience. I'm a lot older. I'd be glad to take care of this for you if you just kind of back off. What he did not know is that the fuse was already burning. They didn't know it. He started to set it off, but it blew up, and he came to in the hospital. And he was bandaged completely over his face. No vision, no sight. And lay there for many, many days. Finally, he raised that question and said, Doctor, when will you take the bandages off of these eyes? And he said, I knew you'd ask that. But when those bandages come off, you will not see any more than you do with the bandages on. Your eyes are gone. Oh, Mr. McPherson said, I've only been a Christian 1 year. I can never read the Bible again. What a horrible thought. Just a new Christian. And he said, my eyes are gone. But somebody came to the hospital and brought the braille. But his fingers had been so battered and plastic surgery to rebuild, he had no feeling left in his fingers. And they said, we read of a man who with his lips learned to read. And he tried, but the nerves to the lips had been clipped and he had no feeling. Almost in despair, but he said, don't take the Braille Bible away. Mr. McPherson stuck out his tongue and began to lick his way through the Bible, leaving a trail of blood. I said, Mr. McPherson, would you tell me something to tell the men? I'm preaching tonight on the importance of the Word of God. He said, yes. You tell them that I am 86 years old. I've been blind since the explosion. I've read the Bible through completely two or three times. I've memorized many lengthy passages of the Word of God with my tongue, and tell them that I'm expecting Jesus to come in a minute, and that if they want to know the Word of God, God will fix a way for them to get it. 86 years old. And yet, with your eyes, think of the hours you wasted watching television. Think of the hours you wasted reading the newspaper, magazine. How little time we've spent memorizing the Word of God. Oh, I wish somebody had preached to me like this when God called me to preach. Why did my professors in Baylor University say, memorize poems and read current events? Why didn't they say, memorize the Word of God? Like I'm saying to you young people, you'll never get pure and you'll never remain pure until we learn how to bathe in the book. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Oh, let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. They're beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinister that loving call, wonderful words of life. Oh, so freely given, bring us up to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. They're beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Oh, for pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Let's stand together.